Here we go.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome, welcome.
Today we're going to talk about the Promised Land, which I think, Laura, this was your pick.
That's right. Another Mads Mikkelsen drama.
Yeah.
Yes. Was it just Mads Mikkelsen that brought you to this?
And before I picked it, or just in.
Yeah, why did you pick it?
Well, we just watched Minari. Well, that feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
About someone trying to establish a farm in adverse circumstances. And then I thought, I've seen a Danish
Oh,
film about that, and it's got Mads Mikkelsen in it.
brilliant. Oh, so you'd
The
watched this
natural
before.
pair. Yes, I went to the cinema to see it when I was in. They were doing a run of Danish films with Mads Mikkelsen. It was a delightful time for me.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I went in, didn't know anything about it, was delighted to find out that it was set in the 18th century.
Yeah,
Ludwig
you just want to
Kaelen.
see the costumes, don't you?
I do, I love the costumes. I love the
So you all
accents.
get dressed up in their costumes. Oh yeah, the accents are good.
I'm sure we've done plenty of
Barely
Danish
sounds like they're
accents.
speaking English. Okay, so you liked
So,
it.
oh, I love it. I think it's a great film.
Great. Awesome.
4 stars.
Cool. Fernando, did you like The Promised Land?
Yeah, I think I liked it 3 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Claire?
Claire?
I hated watching most of it, but it was a great film.
Oh, good. One of those.
Because,
Brilliant.
yeah.
We have
Yeah,
those from
almost
time to
every
time.
minute was unwatchable, but it was great.
Yeah, so I tend to agree. Sounds like, yeah, even Fernando liked this film, but yeah, I'm in the this was really great category. I thought this was a cracking film, a
Oh,
corker.
terrific. A corker. Oh, please.
Oh, Mads has really got it, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a star.
That face, like it's like he just doesn't have to act. He just needs to just stare, and it does so much. I could just look at his face for 90 minutes, and it would tell some heartbreaking story. Yeah, brilliant. I like the strong, silent Mads.
Yeah, that's. I'm watching a really low. Well, it's probably quite high budget, but the budget is wrongly used. Sci-fi on Amazon at the moment called The Expanse. Has anyone heard of it?
Oh yeah, I've heard of
Well,
that.
okay. Well, the main character has a like broody stare, and I just hate his face so much. And I'm just like, I'm just getting no expression. He's got no depth in his stare. He just looks constipated. I'm like, that's not how you do it. You've
Okay.
got to have some. You've got to have, I don't know what it is, a really strong jaw and luscious lips. He doesn't have the luscious lips of Mads Mikkelsen. When that title card comes up with the Heath cannot be tamed, I was instantly like, oh, that's good. I wonder if they'll tame the Heath. Whoa.
it was strong. Not least because it's, I think, in this day and age when there's like space exploration and like people have gone to the South Pole and stuff, it's hard to get that excited about like someone who's gone to some like a moor fairly near Copenhagen, like just sort of in Europe. But they did it well. They really, without being silly, they like built it up in the script and made a big deal about how unforgiving this Heath is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real battle with the earth gods.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I should say when I picked this, I was so excited to watch it again that I watched it straight away. So I haven't seen it for 3 months or
Right.
whenever we nearly last met.
Oh, but you have at least seen it twice, so I
I've
guess
seen
that
it
helps.
twice and I feel like I was paying close attention, so I do remember it well.
Very good.
Yeah. Where to start?
Well, we've talked about Mads Mikkelsen, Ludvig Kiel,
Galen.
as he's called. Yeah, great central character. I don't know. Yeah. What could we say? What
I'm sure we could
you
talk more
said?
about Mads Mikkelsen.
I
His
suppose we
raven
could.
hair. although he's pretty grey in this, actually. Now that I think about it, I guess I've just got a picture of him in my mind. I fancy Mads Mikkelsen, is that clear?
Yeah, I got that.
Great.
How old is he now? Did they make him older for this?
He was born in 65.
He's 59. Yeah, I guess he looks 59, which is a shame because this was made 2 years ago when he was a mere young, sprightly 57.
He'd had a hard life, though.
Yeah, it's a 57-year-old who's been in the wars.
Much like Sharp was promoted from the ranks.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know, one of our competing things at the moment is Claire and I are watching Sharp, the seminal 90s TV series with Sean Bean. And it was always that we could have watched Sharp instead of watching The Promised Land. And by the time we were like half an hour in, I was starting to feel that it didn't really make a difference. This was a very sharp kind of film. Maybe a little more subtlety and dignity to it, but same basic gist of it. This was a big costume drama with a real bastard of an aristocrat who's been wheeled out to face our hero. And we love the hero so much, but he's got a bad side. He's got a mean streak. And the bastard just gets more and more of a bastard, but you kind of know that by the end he's going to properly get his comeuppance. But yes. I didn't realise quite how intense his comeuppance was going to be, but I really, really needed that guy to get killed gruesomely, and he did.
And the system's on the bad guy's side. He's fighting against the whole institution.
But there's a few good guys who are sort of a bit on his side, just enough that he manages to make a go of it. I love that.
Does someone want to recount the plot very quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
So I guess there's this guy, right? He's a poor guy. He's a poor captain guy.
Yeah.
He's got this idea, right? He wants to. How would you put it?
Tame the heath.
Yeah, he wants to tame the heath. He's got a secret card up his sleeve. No one's been able to tame it before, but nobody's ever heard of potatoes.
Potatoes? What?
Or if they've heard of them, they're only a legend from Germany.
Yeah. I like that. That was the biggest potato-related reveal I've ever seen in a film. we think it might be Kartoffeln. Kartoffeln? But they'll fucking grow in anything. Oh, my God.
It's amazing nobody's thought of it. Yeah. Well, the plant grows in everything, and the king's desperate to cultivate this huge swathe of land. But
he's going
to
bloody do it, isn't he?
No way he'd be mad enough.
I think we've glossed over the other points pretty well. You know, there's a bastard aristocrat who claims it's his land, even though Mads Mikkelsen has proof that it's the king's land.
King's land, because it's not cultivated, so it doesn't belong to anyone except the king.
And he's desperate to get his noble title and his settlers from Germany, but conflicting priorities ensue. Yep.
Yeah, a lot of conflicting priorities. And in the end, he gives up his noble title, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Decides that's not the important thing.
Goes to save Anne Barbara.
Goes to save Anne Barbara.
Oh, that's better. That was good.
we can all work on it.
I have adopted one of the words into my daily lingo to describe the cat, which is chapel.
Chapel, that was good.
Some little chapel.
Now, I was trying to get this right. Chapo is what And My Moose called everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was fun. Chapo. Lil Pops didn't really translate so well. I think that was quite an American subtitle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was cute.
She was great. Yeah, I really loved her. I loved how much she swore. And I'm glad that everything was okay for her in the end.
Yeah.
Except this is all fiction.
Except this is fiction, that's true.
Thank you for reminding us.
It's important to me that this was all fiction because a lot of pretty grim stuff happened. Although, I mean, this was a real guy.
Was it?
Von Kaelen, yeah. He was... I was looking him up on Wikipedia. that you can only look him up on Danish Wikipedia, but I've used the translate button. And yeah, it says he was a Danish captain and one of the first cultivators of the Jutland heath.
Oh.
It doesn't say much about these sort of particular aggressive confrontations, but he brought some he had trouble getting funding for it, eventually got there with some German colonists, and could barely persuade them to stay. A lot of people left, but it seems he gave up and wasn't particularly successful. It just got, it says, he after 8 years of ploughing and sowing with poor yields, he gave up, and he went back to the army. So,
is that land now currently being cultivated, or
we don't know? Because I can tell you, Fernando, that the house that Ludwig von Kaelen built no longer exists, and its location is unknown.
Oh.
Wow!
So maybe it's in the middle of a potato farm. There's nothing about all of the crazy stuff that happened in this film, though.
I think, he didn't break a woman out of prison and then flee to the coast.
Not as far as we know. but who's to say that he didn't? that's always what you want with good historical fiction. It could have happened. There's nothing in here that definitely didn't happen.
Ah, the Robert Harris approach.
The Robert Harris approach, although he does quite a lot of research and stuff, and I think tends not to just be like, well, just imagine there was some kid that came and lived with him for 15 years. Yeah.
I've got a question, because I was absolutely certain that at least one of you would find the villain too villainous.
I didn't think he was quite believable.
Right.
It was a bit of a cartoon character, but it I don't know. He played it with quite a tangible, realistic, horrifying attitude, and I kind of felt myself believing that cruelty could be real. So I think they pulled it off.
Oh, excellent.
Anyone else?
I love a cartoon villain.
Yes.
So I love Der Schinkel.
Schinkel.
That's the duh.
I added the dot. It's more regal.
What did you think, Claire? Was he a good villain or too much?
So he was on the edge of a caricature, wasn't he? He was a bit unbelievable. But I do just like a simple film where the baddie's bad, the goodie's good, and you can just, you know, it does the thinking for you.
Yeah,
and that's always nice.
That's a real blessing in a film sometimes. As long as it's done well, as long as it's well acted and well written, you can get away with that, I think. And in this case, it really was well done. So,
yeah.
And they did try to explain why he was so evil. It wasn't completely baseless. It wasn't just, oh, look, there's a bad guy. There were characters describing his childhood, and we see his moments of weakness while he's drunk and stuff, and
he's trying to live up to his family name and trying to drag himself up.
Is there, remind me, a portrait wall of dogs? Am I remembering that?
I don't remember that.
I think it, so it was a point that his dad had walls and walls of portraits of
dogs.
Oh,
yeah.
Just had no interest in his son.
Yeah.
Sort of like cold aristocratic parent, leading utterly spoiled brat who is entitled and desperate to be the biggest bully in the playground.
Yeah, okay. Reminds me a lot of that Game of Thrones villain. Was he called Ramsay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
I
much
think he was
that.
More of a Joffrey.
Yeah, there was a touch of both, wasn't there?
Mm.
I don't know, Joffrey, it felt like he was just kind of a lunatic who was addicted to carnage and violence, whereas this guy was maybe just, maybe that's both of them. Yeah, it reminded me of him more, I guess, for some reason. Maybe it's because it's in the frigid north. Yeah. Been set in Greece, I'd have said Joffrey.
What did you think of the villain Schinkel, Fernando?
De Schinkel.
Oh, what do I think of Captain De Schinkel? What did I think of him?
Maybe you didn't think anything of him.
Well, what did I think of him? That potentially people like him can in fact exist, and yeah, I guess yes, sadly, people like him have existed and perhaps still exist. And sometimes I wondered, well, I mean, can't you just be satisfied with what you have? I mean, you have a mansion and you'll be wealthy the rest of your life. So just mind your own business and stop being so greedy. But I like his ambition. I like that he always wants to be more and have more.
Yeah, so, something to look up to there.
Yes.
Let's not say he's without redeeming features.
Fernando and I recently watched Flash Gordon. So would you rather go on a weekend Magaluf boat cruise with Schinkel or Emperor Ming?
Not the Schinkel, because he can be very cruel.
Yeah, I reckon Emperor Ming's up for a better time.
He's merciless, though.
This guy was pretty merciless.
Yeah, we didn't see a lot of mercy, did we?
He did boil a man alive.
Yeah. Ooh, Schinkel.
We did see Mads getting whipped this time instead of whipping someone else like you did in Casino Royale.
Oh, yeah. He's grown, hasn't he? As an actor. Most people don't get sort of more sympathetic roles as they get older. Most people just go from sweetheart to villain as time goes on.
Or kindly background character gives pearls of wisdom to the main hero.
Oh yeah, Richard Harris.
It's good to see him still getting work. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, good for Mads. He's a special case though, isn't he?
I can't wait to see what he does next. I mean, he might even have done something else and I'm just not catching up because it's not been out in the cinemas here, but got to look out for him.
Excellent. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
I think we've broadly enjoyed all of our Mads films.
Yeah, I've not seen a bad one yet. Great stuff.
That's the third.
What did we think about his death, Schinkel? Anyone think it was too much?
Pretty satisfying.
Satisfying?
Too much.
Too much. That's one for satisfying, one for too much. Claire?
Cast and vote. No. I don't want to cast and vote on castration.
Well, can I just expand? I think that it is, as in, yes, maybe we all want to see like bad people suffer, except it's always sad as well when bad things happen to anyone, even bad people. So maybe it would have been better if he were just cast aside and lifted. The rest of his life, I don't know, alone or somewhere else, instead of being so severely punished.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
But, no, I like
still
to really
you want it.
I think I was gone.
Well, something, I like, obviously the violence of the thing was, kind of the major point. But there was something about Anne Barbara
getting her revenge,
sacrificing herself to save Calen. Was that his name?
Galen.
You know, it was very much like she had gone there to save him and would then be facing the death penalty for committing a murder like that. There was the element of revenge, but she'd never actively gone out and done that until now. Is it you have to kill two of the people I'm in love with and then I'll come and brutally murder you? What was her tipping point there? I found her motivation in that interesting.
I did as well. And I almost wasn't quite satisfied, or I was maybe disappointed in her or something, because I could easily see. I think what got me was the violence of it. She'd poisoned him, right? And she successfully poisoned him, and he was choking to death. Like he was clearly dying. That's why, he was so weak that she could go over, and he was helpless to stop her doing all of that. But she hadn't been detected. She could have slipped away into the shadows, just disappeared, and nothing would have come out of it. And she, it seemed like just such a crazy thing to do, to go in, commit this mad, hideous disfigurement of him, cover herself in blood. I guess we just have to think that she was so full of loathing for him. She just lost it and snapped and didn't care what happened. I wonder if she thought that Ludwig was going to die or something, and she just felt she had nothing to live for or something. But yeah, to do that, it just seemed so crazy. That was striking. Made it a bit of a that was the tragedy of the scene, that she lost her freedom and maybe her innocence as a result of that.
We can all find solace in the fact that she didn't exist.
Yes, exactly. Fortunately, she's not real. It's much easier to watch films when you remind yourself it's not real.
I do. If I'm struggling to watch a film, I have to sit back and think, well, luckily this didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
Mm.
Sometimes with a film, if it's not a very good film, I just kind of check out and just go, well, this is stupid, isn't it? You're just telling me. So that's how I felt with Minari. I was like, oh, right. Oh, that it caught fire, did it? Well, no, it didn't. You just made that up. You could just say anything. For some reason, I just... They call it willing suspension of disbelief, don't they? And somehow they can lose you sometimes. This one kept me on board. I was living and dying with Ludwig and Anne Barbara.
Excellent. What made me think about it, I suppose, is remember when Minari, we'd said most of the conflict was external. It was like the elements of floods, fires, the hurricane that caused all the problems. But this one, I feel, was mostly orchestrated by this mad land owner.
Mm.
You know, and he kept throwing problems at him.
Ludwig's own decisions. That was interesting.
And I suppose there was a natural element to it, because you have to contend with frost. But it feels believable that there would be a frost in winter in Denmark.
Yes.
You know.
And that wasn't like half an hour of drama that they stretched out of that. That was one little scene that I think was meant to just tell us it was hard and they gave it their all.
Yes.
And they got through it and grew the potatoes, and that was good.
Although I did like Minari, I've got to say I didn't have the issues with the elemental aspect of it, but this was a sort of mirror in a way.
Yeah, I think the frost scene was interesting in that it was a conflict with sort of nature and external forces. It also gave us the scene where the cursed child is the one who sees the shoot coming through. She helps save the crop. And then is the one who discovers that they've saved it, like a lucky charm, rather than bringing bad luck on them all. They have to prove all the racists wrong.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh, she was great, wasn't she, Anne Magnus?
Really good child actor.
Mm. Yeah, believable. It's easier when they're speaking a different language, of course. I don't
True.
Like maybe her intonation was weird and unbelievable, but somehow it's easier when they're talking foreign.
I was genuinely very moved when he finally accepts her stick. It's what a heartbreaking moment when she presents him with this stick and he throws it away.
Yeah, okay.
And then it comes in a lovely montage. They're all getting along as a little family.
Yes.
Makes it all the harder when he gets rid of her, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah, that's terrible.
That was just awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was sort of disappointed in him. I thought it, because we've seen him all the way through. He doesn't care about being polite. He doesn't care. He sort of doesn't try to keep people on side the whole way through. Like, employs the people and he says, like, no, you're not getting any wages. You do it my way. you need to be gone in the morning when someone disses him. I thought he was going to stand up and say, does anyone have a problem with this girl? Turn straight round and go back to Germany now. Mm-hmm. We don't want you here. I don't want to hear you talk about it again. And it felt like he could have said that and got it back on track. But yeah, he showed that weakness in the end, and that was tough to watch.
Got vaguely believable, though, I thought, because it's an obsession with the... I mean, even when he sacrifices the goat to save Admimos, but he just will not open a bag of potatoes. The potatoes are everything to him.
Mm. Yeah, that's where I, in some ways, see the flip side of what you were saying, Michael, where, yes, he's strong and makes what he thinks is the right decision, but there are a lot of, single-minded decisions that he's willing to make. He's willing to sacrifice her to keep the Germans, to keep his dream alive, even though he loves her as a child, as like a daughter.
I see what you mean.
Either way, he's given up on one of the things he cares deeply about.
Hmm. Yeah, and he was very tough with people when they were going to stop him growing the potatoes.
Yeah.
But suddenly when they're his one chance of growing the potatoes, he gets a lot more diplomatic. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor girl.
It all works out. I thought it was odd that when she gets not proposed to, because I don't think that's what's happening, but the travelling boy takes her away. Well, she doesn't even pack. She's off without a gun.
No, she just doesn't take anything. I was amazed as well. Yeah. She's got a stick now, though, so.
That's true. You could do a lot with a stick.
Yeah.
I wonder if she really had anything.
She must have a spare outfit. Yeah, spare pants.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yeah, it was, it seemed a bit almost stagey or something. Like, oh, and that happened all in one scene and it just happened back to back. Like they could easily cut to 2 days later when she is finally all packed up and ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a bit funny. But then the way I read the scene, I thought it was they maybe all knew it was going to happen and she was all ready for it. And it was just like it wasn't like it was coming completely out of the blue and she's like, oh, what, you fancy me and you want me to come away with you? But sort of everyone knew that they were falling in love and that they wanted to, and maybe they'd even discussed it. And that was just like almost like a wedding ceremony.
No, because she looked to Ludwig for permission, didn't she?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so at least she hadn't discussed it with him. But I wondered if they'd all realised what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He was ready to, it was good that she went on there.
I think
isn't it weird that people in the past just wouldn't be able to find each other again? You know, that's it. He's left their house, she's left their house, that's it. They'll never see each other again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess at least if someone has sort of a fixed address, you can send a letter to them or go to find them or whatever. But yeah, they would just go, presumably were traveling with a vague destination in mind, but not knowing where they'd be in a couple of years. Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
However, they had a good time together while it lasted.
Yeah.
How did we feel about Ludwig essentially employing slave labour at the start? Like, oh, you'll get 2 meals a day and a bed, but yeah, I won't give you any money in return.
Mm.
That's not cool.
They were free to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he actually wasn't saying, like...
That's a very Tory attitude, Michael.
Yeah, okay.
Take it or leave it.
Okay, yeah, maybe he should have given them a pension and should have...
Well, they want weekends off now, do they?
Yeah, we're trying to cultivate the heathland, but, 38 and a half hours a week, that should be enough.
That's the problem with trade unions.
I see what you mean. He was very tough with them. He was pretty uncompromising, but...
he was on a shoestring budget, though, guys.
Exactly. And he was... It occurred to me he wasn't asking them to do anything he wasn't doing himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was the boss, but he was living with them. He was eating the same food, doing the same kind of stuff. And there was something in that. Whereas, obviously, they were on the run because they were actually indentured labourers that weren't allowed to just leave.
Mm.
So he made a stark contrast from their other employer.
Yeah, and that they theoretically could leave.
Yeah. Well, they were going to leave, weren't they? They said, we'll do one season with our curious new employer, and then we'll move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he maybe took advantage of their desperation.
Mm.
He was taking some risk on himself, I suppose.
Mm.
Did you like the priest, and did you recognise him?
Oh, did I recognise him? I don't think I did.
Was he the homosexual man from the other film?
Yes.
the Ukrainian sex worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was him. Oh, the Danish actors, eh?
There's not many of them, to be fair.
we spotted one guy from Borgen who was in Copenhagen at the start.
Yeah. One of the posh guys around the king.
They were a bunch of bastards as well.
Wait, he's not Ukrainian then?
Apparently not.
I think he's Danish.
Oh.
You feel lied to.
These actors.
It's not real, Fernando. Remember, they're all pretending.
I'll tell you what, he's not even Danish. He's Swedish.
Is he? Wow, what a style, man.
It's just Danish, you can play Swedish. Danish,
you can play Ukrainian. What else can he do? It was sad when he died.
Oh, that was awful.
Mm.
I hated that. And I hate that there was no justice for him.
Mm.
Sort of,
well, no earthly justice, but divine justice.
That's true.
Well, again, I mean, Schinkel really got his comeuppance. Didn't do great there.
Mm.
Yeah, I was really hoping that was Bondo the sort of lackey, servant. I was really hoping that he was going to come good in the end, but I think he just didn't, did he?
No.
Which one was he? Was he the one who was sort of reluctantly ish following orders? Like he looked a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But he's the one who was like, you can go now. It's your land. Off you go. But that's not really coming good, is it?
Oh, no, I guess you're right. Yeah, he never had to take any risks for anyone else.
Mm.
And it occurred to me they could have had something like he'd maybe realised that they were going to poison Schinkel and then just sort of send them on their way and ignore it or turn a blind eye or something. I don't know.
That would have been good.
I wanted something in there to rescue him. But yeah, I guess he was just one of the many people just going along with evil.
Symbolism?
Was there any symbolism?
Oh, let me go get the bell.
Oh, great.
Please do. We're back.
Beautiful.
Anything about the heath? Is the heath kind of the whole world?
Is it purgatory?
Like Trent. Oh, did they all die at the start?
Was he coughing at the start in that poor house? Can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he died right at the beginning.
This was his penance to get into heaven, which was the sea.
Mm.
Or, the beautiful coast that he ends up in. He had to go through his trials.
Yeah, oh, definitely them walking. A number of films, they walk off to the sea at the end. Did he really go and break her out of her prison wagon? Like, how did he go and find that? Is it saying that they both died and that was them escaping their miserable life and going on together? He saw her in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jack and Rose going up the staircase in the Titanic.
Like an atonement.
Whoa. Jack and Rose are not real?
No, Jack and Rose aren't real either. The whole Titanic thing, that was just fiction.
That is true, it never sank.
Oh, imagine if there was a big ship and it sank. Who cares?
Have you guys heard of Titanic 2?
Yeah, there was a really, really crap film a few years ago, wasn't there?
I haven't seen it, but I heard of it the other day, and I was like, Titanic 2.
The poster says, like,
to wreck.
I think the poster says, like, surely it couldn't happen again. But yeah, isn't it set in, like, 2030 or something, where they've built a scale replica of the Titanic, and they're going to take it on its maiden voyage, and hopefully it won't sink. Like, real B-movie stuff, from what I can tell.
Now I must watch this. It's on Tubi.
Brilliant. Maybe we can watch Titanic 2.
Claire, I
think you were about to say something interesting about heaven or something, weren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
You just started a thought, and sometimes you bring the tone up with these
I can't remember
symbolism
now.
Segments.
Oh, no.
I'm usually just making it up in the moment. It doesn't always...
Oh, we missed something.
do something with the potatoes.
Yes. Oh, I've remembered a couple of the points. One is the classic thing in Wuthering Heights is that the Heath reflects Heathcliff's wild character.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
definitely
okay.
Invoke that. What's the name of the... Was it Johannes and Barbara's first husband?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Johannes Erton.
There must be something about him ending up going to hell rather than heaven from purgatory, because he's killed in a torturous way, which is what Dante's Inferno describes. Probably one of the circles of hell is having boiling water poured on you. Yeah, what the potatoes symbolise, the Danish state, the entire Danish state is represented by the potatoes. Because,
it's not your best work, but go on, sorry.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Because it's only by embracing other cultures that they're going to succeed, and see racism is holding them back, as it was holding back the people working with the Tartars, the Romani travelers.
Tartar sauce?
I imagine it.
It was even spelled taters.
Oh, the potatoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, if they want to succeed, they have to accept these German potatoes and accept that's what they need. Nah, sorry, nothing.
I think that was a valiant attempt.
There was
something
in there. Yeah, well done.
Thanks.
Maybe we should map it to Dante's, do the same, break this one out.
I haven't quite finished Paradiso. I've been reading the Divine Comedy for 20 years now. I'm not quite finished.
I've got the AI summary in front of me. We don't need to read it. We don't need to read anything anymore.
I had a vague thought about, like, the land. So his struggle against the system, it is represented by the struggle to grow the potatoes on the heath, right? All he wants to do is make something, just build something of his own. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. And just the environment in which he's got to do it is so hostile. And there's so little precedent for anyone having done this before, that he's just doomed to fail. And so his struggle to get a noble title and to sort of enter the system is like trying to grow crops on the heathland.
Mm. Oh, that's quite good.
Thanks.
Yeah, well done. There you go. We managed to wring another droplet out of the old rag of symbolism.
Yeah. Very good.
Oh, you know who we've not talked about? The woman, who? Helene.
Oh yeah,
the noble woman,
Adele.
Yeah, sorry,
Adele. Yeah, yeah. I felt bad for her, and she was kind of fun, but by the time he'd fallen in love with Aunt Barbara, I don't think anyone in the audience could have been hoping for him to get together with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a good bit of conflict and interest, but yeah.
I tell you, the first time I watched it, I didn't have much. I thought at the end she was like revealed to be a coward, that she'd fled back to Sweden, Norway?
Norway.
Wherever she'd come from. But on this watch, I was a lot more like, oh, you know what? She actually was pretty brave and helped the whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did try to stand up to the Schenkel, which no one else did.
Yeah, I think she was a good character. And it was clear that she wasn't in love with Ludwig. She was very much looking for a way out.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think she fancied Ludwig. I mean,
yeah,
I
she wasn't not in love.
I hear you, girl.
Yeah, I think she rightly assessed that if what she needed to do to get out of that relationship was to marry Ludwig, then maybe that wasn't such a bad deal.
There was a nice moment of tension when she asked Aunt Barbara to go and get her a glass of water.
Yes, that was very good.
Yeah, like not unkind, nothing like that, but still just like so knowing her place kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, straight out of a Sharp.
Yes.
In fact, so it reminded me of Le Gan. You remember we had Elizabeth, who was hopelessly in love with our hero Amir Khan. But of course, we know that we don't want him to get together with her, and she's going to help them, and she's a goodie.
Excuse me, I think me and Fernando were Team Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
How can remember all these things? It's been so long.
No, he had to get together with the Indian girl.
Gowri
with her perfect rotis. But yeah, I mean, maybe some people watching this were Team Helene. And we're like, oh, what's this? What's he getting together with the housekeeper for? You're living in a palace in Norway.
The violent, vengeful housekeeper who, yeah, somehow we're with.
Yeah. She was good.
Yeah, she was good.
Liked Aunt Barbara. Practical. A lot of potatoes grown. Helene was never going to grow any potatoes, was she? She'd have been hopeless.
Oh, yeah, she's not getting her hands dirty.
Nah.
The Danish title was Bastarden, however that's pronounced in Danish.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Bdø.
How many of the characters does that include?
Oh,
it just says the bastard, apparently.
Yeah,
the translation.
I think it's singular.
So it's just Ludwig.
I guess so, isn't it? But then surely the bastard, as in like... the person we really hate is Schenkel.
Yeah.
So maybe we're not supposed to know who the bastard is.
They were kind of all bastards.
Yeah. I mean, was the wee girl a bastard? Was she ever...
kind of.
Was she conceived under legal wedlock?
Yeah.
I see.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Were Adam and Eve ever married?
There wasn't a priest, was there?
So no. We're all bastards.
I think you call God a priest.
Yeah, that he's like, that's better than a priest.
Yeah. Okay.
If anything. Let's say at least as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know who the bastard was.
The king.
Apparently the book was called The Captain and Aunt Barbara.
Oh, that's
more,
not a
bit
good
more down
title.
To earth. No. Yeah. The bastard was pretty full on.
Yeah.
I quite liked when it flashed up that bastard in the middle with the subtitle that said The Promised Land. And I thought, I'm not sure that's a direct translation. Guess they, maybe it's a more aggressive swear word in English than it is in Danish.
I don't know. They made Inglorious Bastards, didn't they?
Yeah, but that was like an 18 by Tarantino.
I'm guessing this was an 18 as well.
Actually, I'm guessing this was an 18.
I bet it's a 15. I bet the Danish are less.
You reckon it's a 15?
That's my guess.
I'm looking it up, and it's UK 15.
What?
Denmark 12. No, 15. Oh, Brazil 18.
Okay.
A bit fussy. Oh, Italy 6+. Japan G. That better not mean general. Oh, dear, I think it does.
Well, again, it's never too early to teach the children of the perils of the aristocracy.
Yeah, there we are.
Any good trivia?
You normally look it up in advance, don't you? I always like it when you pull out trivia. Yeah. Go on, I'll have a look for you.
Have a wee look.
Trivia, here we go. The movie is based on a book. The writers took many liberties with the story. Thank goodness.
God, IMDb trivia is such a waste of time.
This film was based on a book.
The film is set in Denmark.
Did you know none of these people were actually the people involved in the drama? These were actors.
Yeah. Mads Mikkelsen plays a villain in Casino Royale, but this time he faces off against a villain.
Oh, here we are. There's one good bit of trivia actually worth making the podcast. The scene where the family is eating dinner and the little girl, Anne Mimus, throws up her hands and shouts, "Pancakes," was an unscripted moment from actress Melina Hagberg. And the director liked the improvised nature of the scene and kept it in the final film.
Like it. She was so cute.
She was very cute. I thought they did a good job casting the older actor. She looked like she...
I was convinced. It was nice that she that like the little girl was super skinny, and the older actor was like much more like healthy weight. And I think that was meant to maybe remind us that they were doing well. That they were they actually had quite a few good years together, and she was wearing like a nice dress that was clean, and she was well fed, and they were getting by fine, and that was nice.
Do you know, I've got this has anyone seen Ichabod and Mr. Crane? Mr. Toad.
Ichabod and Mr. Toad, yeah, I watched it a couple of months ago.
There is a bit where the narrator describes Katrina Van Tassel as plump as a partridge because she's got massive boobs, and every time I see someone with a full bust on TV, I'm like, oh, she is plump as a partridge.
Excellent.
I thought this about that actor. It's a sweet way to objectify women.
Yes, exactly. one of the slightly more wholesome ways to talk about someone's boobs.
That's me, I think.
Yeah, the only other thing that occurred to me when I was watching it was the parallel with the other big potato-growing film I've seen, which is The Martian. Just want to invite you all to reflect on the similarities and differences between the two films.
Nobody eats a potato in this.
Really?
I don't see any potatoes being eaten, as far as I can remember.
Seeing them. No, you're right. I guess it's quite late on that they actually successfully grow the potatoes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And after that point, yeah, I guess they're not so focused on... Yeah, you'd show at least one bit with them eating the potatoes, wouldn't you?
Sure, I said, God. That's what some people, I bet, came for that. Potato lovers.
She ate the damn potato! Yeah, well, you gotta go and see The Martian if you're into that. He eats potatoes loads and talks about them. Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Not from me.
No, I don't think so. Really great film. Thanks for picking it.
Excellent. I'm glad I didn't try and change it to The Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, which I came very close to several times.
I'm very glad you didn't.
I'm not sure that would have made it through the vetting process.
Yeah, that's what I thought. However,
any last thoughts from Fernando?
Yeah.
Let's watch another Mads Mikkelsen's film, please.
Okay.
Excellent. What I think that's a request for Claire, who will be picking in a minute.
Oh, am I next up?
Believe so.
Oh, I don't have a film.
We can. Well, you can...
Have you seen Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift?
Don't. Am I going to have to be the good angel on Claire's shoulder?
I woke the cat up with that.
Oh no!
Sleeping so peacefully.
Please take your time, Claire. There's no need rushing into anything. Okay. That last time you made a panic decision, we watched Holy Motors.
Yeah, take your time.
So please do an exhaustive search of...
Oh, actually, I've got my phone. I might have something on my... my list. But yeah, this is there is a serious risk with that.
A high risk can be interesting sometimes. That's how we get some really interesting ones.
Remember, the Titanic 2 is always an option.
Out of interest, what's one of them randomly? Not the one that you're picking, but just
a flavour. Erist Vider Da.
Amazing. Right,
yeah, take your time. Just go and think about it.
Do you know what Erist Vider Da is?
No, I don't.
Does it have Mads Mikkelsen? Because it sounds like it might.
No, it's German. It's okay. Look Who's Back is the translation.
Hmm.
It's about Hitler waking up in the modern age.
Ooh.
Oh, I've seen that, good. I think.
Well, I'd watch that.
Sure, yes. We can watch that. It'll finally be gone from my list.
That sounds quite fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume it's a comedy.
Not a democracy. You decide.
It is a comedy. Let's go with Erist Vider Da then.
That's exciting.
Okay.
I've skipped past that a lot of times.
Well,